Hey everyone, I want you to check out our sponsor, BustedTees.com. They sell really cool clothing and apparel, all of it inspired by your favorite shows, anime, sci-fi, video games, movies. That's BustedTees.com. And then at checkout, you want to use my name, Jason, 25945. That's all one word, Jason 25945. That's going to get you a discount, and it's going to help this show. That site again, BustedTees.com, like t-shirts, and that code again, Jason 25945. BustedTees.com, designs that pop culture. All right, guys, we're going to make this one short, sweet, and to the point.
Title of your sex tape.
Shut it. We want you to join us online. We love to interact on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, so we kind of need you to go to those places. Not yet. Anyway, we are Tapeworms, fans of the Mixtape Podcast on Facebook. And on Twitter, we are the_mix_tape_pod.
the_mix_tape_podcast on Instagram, and the Mixtape, three words, on TikTok. Hold on, dude.
You can email us, yourmixtapeshow@gmail.com. That's going to get you there. Or you can give us a ring on the phone and drop a voicemail. Matt?
You can give us a call at 513-437-2377. Or make it easier, just remember 513-HERAD77.
Easiest way is to head to www.themixtapeshow.com. That's our website. Where? Seriously? Anyway, head to the site. We have links and a bunch of other stuff available.
Also, on the homepage, our link to Buy Me a Coffee, where you can easily support the show. If you have like 30 seconds, we're begging you, please, leave us a review. It really does help a lot.
Okay, now on with the show.
All right, go ahead. Take it away, Casey. Go, Kevin.
Test one, two, check one, two, test. Stewie, can you give me a test? Because our levels got turned way down.
Test. Yeah. Assholes.
Yeah.
Oh. You test assholes?
Yes.
For what, like elasticity and girth?
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Who has a mixtape? Who needs a mixtape? Who makes a mixtape? Who needs a mixtape? You do too. But you need to go.
Don't you wanna listen to our mixtape? Raise the roof and move your feet. Come along and laugh with our mixtape.
Ha 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 ha.
Waka 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 waka. Don't you wanna listen to our mixtape? Sing along and clap to the beat. Settle in and listen to our mixtape. And now the music vanishes. Enjoy your buttock sandwiches.
Okay, we are back here with the mixtape once again to deliver unto you stuff that I don't know what I'm saying. My name is Jason Emmett.
I'm Casey Best, please.
I'm Twisted Kid Matt.
I'm Stewie D.
You're not the delightful Stewie D this week. I'm the delightful Stewie D.
Delightful.
That's what you said on the last episode. You said, I'm the delightful Stewie D.
Well, life kind of kicked me in the nuts this week, so.
I'm sorry, man. That sucks. Yeah. Life has a way of doing that, though, especially us. We're one of those group of people that is like one of us is always getting fucked over. And it really sucks when all of us get fucked over.
Debilitating illnesses, technical issues. Yeah. Missing slide,
missing slide whistles.
Yeah, down,
I mean,
it came back up. Yeah,
there was that moment. Like, it's been a little over 2 years now since your car got totaled that day, isn't it? That was a fun day.
It'd be 3 years this year.
God, really? Time, guys. Time goes by.
Well, this year, August, whatever.
Yeah, that was a fun day. I got a phone call at work like, hey, man, I need a ride. And he sent me pictures. I'm like, are you alive? He was, amazingly enough.
Yeah. I didn't know I was alive. The grave.
His car was like smashed, but he walked out okay.
I took a few seconds to think, but am I alive?
Oh, life still sucks. I must be.
Am I still here?
Am I here?
I actually asked you that question.
Why does heaven look like 275?
Right. Well, there was a lot of smoke from the airport.
There was a lot of smoke. I thought it was in hell.
I didn't think that part.
It was a little warm.
It was warm. Well, let's get started. We decided this week we're going to talk about is we're going to do the we're going to talk about bands or musicians that kind of changed rock and roll or changed the face of rock and roll, history of rock and roll, or the industry in some way,
music in general.
Yes.
And then we're gonna kind of break off and do music or movies that did pretty much the same thing. And we're gonna start. I want to say this was so cool for me to get into. Now, I tried to keep things light because I want to talk to you guys about it and why you picked what you picked and really have discussion. But everybody brought stuff that just makes sense. Like, especially when I get into the research into things, I was like, oh, this makes sense. The first person to give me their list was Stu. So Stu's up first. And
it's sitting right next to you.
You were when we were sitting here, and I said, let's do that episode. And then, like 30 seconds later, I got a text with his picks on. It was like that fast. No, they make perfect sense. And just because we are this show, nobody talked about Nirvana, and we've talked about them a lot. We are well aware of what the effects that Nirvana had on the music industry.
Yeah. It doesn't need stating anymore.
It really doesn't. We know what they did. But Stu's first pick this week is Eddie Van Halen. And I guess Van Halen in general, but more specifically, Eddie Van Halen. So I'm going to give a real quick kind of overview, very quick, and then we'll discuss it for a few minutes. Eddie began learning piano at the age of 6. Actually, he and Axel both started learning classical piano at the age of 6.
Who?
Pause, Alex.
Alex, what did I say?
Axel.
Axel.
Yeah. Rose. Axel Rose went over to Eddie Van Halen's house. Alex and Eddie started learning classical piano at the age of 6. If you want me to hit it, I'll hit it. It's fine. I don't mind.
I wouldn't say that's a stroke. I think that's more like a Freudian.
No, I would never Freudian slip that. I have way more respect for Axel Van Halen. No, Axel Van Halen. I have way more respect for Axel Van Halen than I do for Alex Rose. And I...
And neither one of those are real
people. I'm confused.
Me too. So anyway, Alex and Eddie began learning classical piano when they were like 6, 7 years old or somewhere in there. And his parents, they actually wanted him to be a classical pianist, but he fell in love with rock and roll. He said like when he couldn't afford pedals, it forced him to try all these different techniques and experiment on the guitar itself just to get the sounds that people were getting by using pedals because he didn't have them.
Right.
He took techniques like the two-handed tapping, which everybody knows, you know, he's very famous for. He didn't create two-handed tapping, but what he did was perfect it in a way that no one had done before. Like, everybody was trying to copy off him. And we've heard stories that for a while, like, Alex made him turn his back on stage so people couldn't see what he was doing to, like, steal what he was doing. So it's pretty cool. He was very innovative. He would play with pickups on the guitars. He would, as we all know, he would change things around, which is how we got the Frankenstein guitar, which, you know, he just always changes
the
stuff.
The Frankenstrat that looked like it was, it looked like it was mashed together with like 6 different guitars.
Well, literally was, because he would just try different things until he found a sound that he liked. So Eddie actually had this to say. He said, regarding the Speedy Licks boys, hey, that's not my fault. Maybe they cop the speed because they can't cop my feel. Maybe they shouldn't think so much. I don't think when I play, it's spontaneous. It's a feeling. So very innovative guitar player. Like, so people have said, like, is he the greatest guitar player? Is he the technically, like on a technical aspect? Not necessarily. On an innovative aspect, he's definitely one of the greats. And as we know to this day, when you hear somebody that's just starting to play guitar, they get very excited when they finally like are able to do
Eruption.
Eruption is supposedly like the point of when you've learned how to do guitar Eruption seamlessly. They usually say that you have actually gotten to the point of you're playing good.
Yeah, like me, I can do Eruption seamlessly. I can't even do it with my.
I can listen to it well.
I can't even do
I
it.
I can make those little clay volcanoes and make them erupt.
I can put like baking soda and vinegar. Soda. Yeah.
You realize that eruption wasn't even really.
So I was going to say that eruption was it was his warm up technique.
Yeah, and then was it his manager's like you need to record that.
They said
shit.
Like play it on. Yeah, they made him play it one night because that's how he warmed up behind the scenes every week. He would just do eruption, and now it's become such a thing. Like Stu said, for everybody who's learning to play guitar, it's like they will practice and practice and practice till they can nail eruption, and then they feel like oh now I'm good. Because it has so many of the finger tapping and, you know, yeah, it's insane.
It's kind of like Mozart's, what's the famous one he does? on the piano.
I mean, I know what it sounds like. I'm not going to
tell. Something called like Rhapsody, probably.
Something.
I don't know. Like, listen, man, I'm not going to do this with you.
I'm not like
we're not doing this
Mozart
because I'm going to start naming 10. Shit and none of it's going to be fucking Mozart, but I won't know that.
That's why I'm kind of standing.
Canon and Cooling. D, that's Pacabell. You know, I don't
right, let me look this up.
There's a reason we don't talk classical
Mozart's
music on this.
Greatest hits.
Like that's Beethoven who did the bum, right?
Yeah. Some sort of sonata, right?
Did you mean Mozart's greatest hits? That's exactly what I typed. But okay,
Google it. There's see, more than that too. Pieces. I would say that Van Halen, as a whole, was a band that really sort of got the whole ball rolling on like arena rock. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to think of people prior to Van Halen that I would consider like huge arena rockers.
I mean, I guess you could say like Led Zeppelin and all them was back in the day.
Maybe. But
they were so short-lived because, you know, the death of Bonham.
Would you consider Queen a good
player? Maybe. Again, maybe, possibly. But nobody on the same in the same way that I think. Mm. Well, when you have David Lee Roth join up and he's such a showman, you've got this showman on guitar. You got this front man who's doing fucking 3-foot high jump kicks in the middle of the stage. I think they just... Yeah. People didn't know when you went to see Van Halen, you saw a show. It was like mind blowing stuff. And I think it became one because we've had this discussion many, many times. Like when people are like Roth or Hagar, and I'm like, what are you asking me? Because
there are two different Van Halen.
That's not a fair question. Different. Are you asking me which one puts on the better performance or which one do I actually prefer? I actually prefer, I didn't realize this. Most of my favorite Van Halen songs. Or actually Hagar, I just never paid attention to it.
That's like
I like them all.
If you like cake or apple pie,
well,
apple
pie,
two totally different things.
No, yeah. See, I was comparing to people when they say pizza, and said, oh, New York is it New York or Chicago? I'm like, they're two totally different.
Totally, don't totally. Make fun of me, motherfucker. I'll make fun of you too. Totally. heard you.
They're two totally different things. You really can't compare them. I mean, they're considered pizzas.
I agree.
But they're not the same.
And Van Halen's.
Did you almost start to say tortellini? Is that what you were starting to say?
That's when you compare tortellini.
Chicago, New York, or tortellini?
Honestly, I'd like to say yes, but I totally said tortellini.
He made fun of me about, you guys didn't catch it, but a few seconds before because I fucked up a word. So it's payback, bitch. But, you know, they even changed their sound alike because when Hagar came in, they went a lot more synth heavy than they had been previously, which I don't know. Some of my favorite songs are Hagar songs, but some of my favorite performances are Roth performances. So it's just
exactly
one of those things. Like you can point to it. You can talk about like I love the song, you know, Higher. I fucking love that song. And I love Humans Being. But then when you go back, like, what's their most famous song? It's going to be Jump, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to.
Well, I mean, it also kicked off the.
Kicked. Pun intended?
Yeah. No, not really.
No.
But it also kicked off the MTV era as well.
For them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. And that whole video was literally just them on stage.
Right.
So watching the, like, arena rock show. So they'd be really cool to go see, like, doing one of those big screen things. You know how they take bands now and they put concerts on? Yeah. You know, like Van Halen would be a good
Fathom
one.
Fathom Events?
Yeah. That Van Halen would be a really fun one to watch, I bet. Yeah. So Stewie's next one really makes sense. And it's so weird because we didn't intend for what's about to happen. We just did the Michael Jackson fake his own death conspiracy. And then we let our people vote. Next week's episode is literally a deep dive into Thriller because you guys, the listeners, picked that. But Stu picked Michael Jackson, and, like, of course he did. Like, if you're going to talk people who changed the music industry, I mean, Michael Jackson just makes perfect sense. At the time of his death, he was the most awarded entertainer, artist, and person in history. Entertainer, artist, and person in history. He had more awards than anyone else in history. Jeez. He was a complete package. I mean, incredible singer. He was an incredible writer, dancer, and just creator in general. His music videos were epic. His songs pushed the envelope. And his name was, it's legendary. If Elvis was the king of rock, then Michael Jackson was the undisputed king of pop. Both of them introduced fashion choices into the world. Both had adoring, screaming fans, and both left us kind of wanting more. So, Stu, you picked Van Halen and you picked Michael Jackson.
Died mysterious.
Both died mysterious. Both faked their death, or apparently. Both had interactions with Priscilla. And
I don't think Eddie did that.
No, we were talking about Elvis.
Oh.
No, Eddie Van Halen did not die mysteriously. He didn't fake his death.
Eddie Van Halen and Michael Jackson did work together.
New conspiracy.
That's
yes, they did.
From Beat It. Yeah.
Beat It. Yes, they did. Absolutely.
And he was uncredited for that one.
So what made you choose Michael Jackson?
He's basically the biggest icon of the 80s and 90s. I mean, for 20 years, he was on top of the food chain.
Yeah, most literally.
The music, the movie, or movies, the music videos, I guess a movie too. I mean, he kind of did the short video movie
thing. He was in Men in Black.
Men in Black. He also did, the Disney thing?
Captain EO.
Mm-hmm. But he also innovated the dance sequence. So that's... He had multiple people dancing behind the same way as him.
Yeah.
I guess he's the one that innovated all that, or so someone close to him.
When, like, so many people would say things like, you know, I mean, he gave us the moonwalk, but he didn't. The moonwalk existed.
Right.
He
just had a bigger platform for
it. Yeah, he brought things to a mainstream. He would see what other people were doing, and then he would kind of perfect it and, like, bring it out and, like, show the world what other people were doing. And he was an incredible dancer, let's face it. I mean, he choreographed a shit ton of his own stuff and came up with things. If you remember The Lean, you know, we didn't know how he did that shit back in the day. We know now, but we didn't. We're like, how the fuck is he defying gravity?
And we all
gravity?
Sustained injuries trying it on the playground.
I want to see Matt
like, I can do it.
Face planting on.
Guys,
look, I'm almost there.
Just smacks into the concrete. So that's why Matt looks like that today. But like it was incredible, and you said the music videos, nobody did that shit. Nobody put out a 14-minute fucking video. We didn't know.
They still don't.
Yeah,
it blew our mind. Like this isn't. It wasn't even considered. It was considered a mini movie. Like a lot of people don't even want to call them videos because it wasn't exactly what they were. And he did that several times.
It was basically a YouTube clip before YouTube.
Yeah, pretty much. Good point.
He was.
It was an event.
There are those. So there are a couple people that are going to get brought up. Actually, I'm going to say in every one of our choices this week, we all picked someone that is probably the pioneer in this field, and I don't know if they'll ever be touched. And I don't know if anybody's ever going to, any pop star will ever reach the heights of Michael Jackson. I saw something recently.
Or depths now.
No, he was cremated, so he's in the wind. Probably in some bird poop, a few other places. Not anymore. It was a long
all
time
we ago. Are is dust
in the bird wind. Poop. Oh. But seriously, I don't know if another pop star will ever hit like what he has done. Like, will anybody ever be his big a name? We've talked about this a lot to get on subject but off subject. When you think basketball, who's the biggest name in basketball?
Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if people want to do the comparison, like, is LeBron a better player than Jordan? It doesn't matter. He will never be a bigger name than Michael Jordan, just with everything he's done.
The closest person, like, right now to get anywhere near Michael Jackson status would be Taylor Swift.
And she's not there.
But yeah, she's growing.
There, but, yeah, she's growing.
She will never be there, and I'll tell you why she'll never be. She's never going to sell as many albums as he did. she's never going to have as many hits off one album as he did. And everyone listened to Michael Jackson. Like
everyone hates Taylor Swift.
People, well, I don't hate Taylor Swift. I'm not a big fan of her music. But my thing is, like, she has her
people and they love her and they're massive. But he went across, like, he broke boundaries. Like, everyone listened to Michael Jackson. It wasn't like, you know, Swifties listened to Taylor Swift.
Almost didn't have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah, like, everybody liked a Michael Jackson song. I never knew anybody that was like, I hate everything Michael Jackson's ever done. I've never met anyone that just hates Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I've known flat-out racists who love Michael Jackson.
Right? You know? Like, he's white now.
Yeah, we can claim him this time.
It's okay, we can like him now.
I saw the video. He said he's black, he's white. He was admitting it.
It don't matter.
It's okay, we can like him now.
The thing about his baby, it doesn't matter if he's black or if he's white. No, but seriously, you're right. You're not wrong. Like, people loved Michael Jackson's music. Even when in the midst of controversy, people are like, but I still like his music. You know, you think about the people, and granted, he was acquitted and, you know, he was found not guilty, whatever. You think about the people that go through controversy now, and it's like certain people, like, they're gone. Just never, that's the end of them.
Or heard from again.
Kevin Spacey. You don't, they're gone. Like Bill Cosby. You can't even watch the Cosby Both Show now without feeling weird. Both
of those are trying to make comebacks,
though. Well, yeah. So. You can't. You
trust Cosby hasn't started like a podcast.
The juice. What's happening
was today on. I'm gonna teach you how to make a drink.
And the pill goes into the crate.
You want to crush it. You want to crush it. You want to crush the pill in the drink.
This is terrible.
So let's. Was it or was it wonderful? So
terribly wonderful.
I can't. Like, I can't fault Stu's choices were perfect. Like, they just both made perfect sense to me the second I saw them. Like, duh, Eddie Van Halen, innovative on guitar change. The thing that Michael Jackson did, though, that, again, I kind of briefly said it, fashion. I mean, he changed fashion. You know, people were.
He got Corey Feldman to dress like him.
Still thinks he is him. Did you see that? Did you see what I posted? Touring with Limp Bizkit and Corey Feldman. It's going to be life-changing, whether that's good or bad.
I'm actually going to try to attempt to see it in Noblesville, Indiana.
So I'm going
to
tell you. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah. I'm basically going for Limp Bizkit.
I'm
going
to tell you right now. I've heard a lot about Corey Feldman, and apparently that dude thinks he can, like, come out 2 hours late. You are.
Have you seen some of his videos on YouTube?
Yes. Like, that ain't happening. I'm leaving.
I mean, shit, I've left concerts before not even being 2 hours late.
I will wait for certain people, but he is not one of them. He's Corey Feldman. We're not waiting 2 hours. So, and it's Limp Bizkit. So,
hey,
take a look around. let's talk about Casey's. Now, the first question I want to ask you guys. So, when Casey sent me his list, I figured one or two people would Prince. Be on his list. No, Prince is not on his list. You said that to me, and that was not one of the two people I thought about. I figured he would either have Johnny Cash or Bob Dylan, and he did. He had Bob Dylan, which makes perfect sense. Again, you can't fault when you're talking about Stu is Bob Dylan starting his motorcycle. And bring on the Bob Dylan impressions. Again, when you're talking about people who changed.
The only one who didn't do it.
Didn't. Well, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
When you're talking about people who changed the face of music, Bob Dylan, doesn't matter whether you're a fan or not a fan. I think that's very important to talk about with everybody we're about to mention. Doesn't matter if you like them, don't like them. There, you cannot argue these choices. Often called the Shakespeare of his generation, Dylan sold tens of millions of albums. He has written more than 500 songs. His stuff has been recorded by more than 2,000 artists. So a young Robert Zimmerman, who was actually fascinated by beat poetry and folk singer Woody Guthrie. So his name is Bob Zimmerman, which wouldn't have had the same ring. Yeah.
Bobby Z, yeah.
Yeah, didn't Bob Zimmerman. All right. He took the name Dylan from Dylan Thomas, the poet, because he was a big fan, and he was a huge, huge fan of Woody Guthrie. He, like, moved so that he could be near where Woody Guthrie was because he wanted to try to meet him and get to know him and shit. So he releases his first album in 1962. Reviews are really mixed, right? People aren't really sure what to think about this guy's voice. They said it took a lot of getting used to. Which, totally get that. And this is young Bob Dylan, too. This isn't even... I would actually say his voice has matured and sounds a little better now. I know it's...
Depends on certain albums, but go ahead.
Yeah. By his second album, people were were on board. Like, he had massive fan following. In 1963, he made an appearance at the Newport Folk Festival, and they crowned him the king of folk music. What Michael Jackson did for pop, what Elvis did for rock, we've got Bob Dylan doing for folk music, as weird as it is. But I'm going to ask you guys a question. I know there'll be answers, and that's okay. But how many? How many famous that every but people know their name folk musicians can you think of?
Well, first, I'd like to say I didn't even know he was folk, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's folk music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's
my first one.
They're probably Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Sometimes.
That's four of them right
Peter,
there.
Peter, Paul, yeah. Mary.
Occasionally, yeah.
And they usually go
Carpenters, maybe name. A little bit.
Would the Traveling Wilburys be considered that then?
I wouldn't.
Since he was part of it?
No, they're not really folk. I mean, there's definitely some influence in some of their stuff.
I mean, the only reason I'm asking is because he was in it, so I didn't know.
Well, and I think Petty.
Joan Baez,
who was really good friends with him. I would argue that Tom Petty even has some folk in his stuff. Like, it's definitely part of what he does. So I can see the folk influence on the Wilbury stuff. I wouldn't call them a folk band, but I can hear it and when they sing. So the title track of his next album after he was at the New York Folk Festival in 63, the title track was The Times Are Changing. And that was from 1964. And that pretty much what that song did was create an anthem for folk music to kind of go mainstream. That was kind of he had a huge following before that, but that album, that song kind of broke free and like you started getting this real mainstream success. I'm even going to say, man, the guy went so far as to win in 2016. He won a fucking Nobel. So how do you win a Nobel Prize as a fucking singer? But he did it. So, and I think he's won Pulitzers too. Has he not? I believe he might have.
I think so.
Yeah. So, Kev, you picked Bob Dylan. I'm not that shocked. You're a Dylan fan, but why don't you talk about it for a second?
For me, I mean, I consider Bob Dylan like the first white rapper. I mean, he was, you know, kind of spitting knowledge in a lot of his early songs about what was going on in the country. And you wouldn't have like a Rage Against the Machine if it wasn't for a Bob Dylan.
100% agree.
Very true. Actually.
I think, and I bet you Rage would agree. And I bet you they're Bob Dylan fans.
And I kind of wish there wasn't the Rage.
I think Rage should do a song with Bob Dylan.
You don't like Rage, too?
No.
Stand by. Really? I'm going to see if they may have already done that.
I mean, I like their music, but their lyrics are to be desired.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think most people would feel the opposite, I guess. The
lyrics.
Update. They've already covered a Bob Dylan song.
They covered, but they need to do it with Bob Dylan.
They did Maggie's Farm.
Right.
That doesn't shock
me. Oh, very much
He's been covered by tons of people. It's just one of those things.
Adele.
It's like,
Make You Feel My Love, which is fantastic, by the way.
He's an interesting character to me because sometimes I really like him, and sometimes I can't stand him. And then there are certain songs that no matter what I do, I can't have anybody else sing it. It just doesn't work for me.
Totally get it.
Kevin and I have talked about this. I love the song most of the time. Absolutely love that song. He's a fantastic
Not
song.
Not all the time?
Nope. I only like it most of the time.
Okay. Just most of the time.
And what's weird is I've tried to do covers because I'm like, you know, there's some better voices and maybe I'll like a cover and it just doesn't work. Like it's got to be Bob Dylan doing most of the time or else it doesn't work for me.
Has his son ever done any covers of his?
I'm sure Jacob has done a Dylan song.
Because he doesn't really sound like Bob.
So let me tell you what my mom said about Jacob Dylan. And this is the most accurate statement I ever heard. My mom once said, you know, Jacob Dylan looks like his dad, only he's good looking, and he sings like his dad, only he's got a good voice. And it's one of the most accurate things I've ever heard in my life. I'm like, that is, you see Bob Dylan in his face, but he's way better looking, and you hear Bob Dylan in his voice, but he's got a much stronger voice.
Is Jacob Dylan still doing stuff?
Yes.
He doesn't has actually come out and said he will not cover any of his dad's songs.
That's cool. I respect that, actually. I get that. He wants to make, you know, his own name. So Jacob Dylan works a lot. He's kind of one of those guys that I think kind of found is where he wants to be. I don't think being mainstream success is really what he's that concerned about. I've talked about this before. I highly, highly recommend Echo in the Canyon. It is a movie about all the folk singers and musicians that lived in Laurel Canyon, and it is all Jacob Dylan. So it's Jacob Dylan going around talking to these people that he grew up knowing, and then it cuts to him live on stage, like in between performing these people's songs with other people. So like Beck does a song with him. I think I want to say like Norah Jones maybe does a song with him. It is fantastic, and it starts off with him and Tom Petty in a record or in a guitar shop. It is the best thing ever, and they're sitting there like Jacob Dylan's like, "Yeah, look at that Rickenbacker. Is it Rickenbacker or Rickenbacker?" And Tom Petty's like, "Rickenbacker, man. Nobody calls it Rickenbacker," which I've never heard anyone call it Rickenbacker, but Tom Petty said it was. So he,
right. Yeah, I guess he's right.
It's so weird because you see Jacob Dylan talking to all these people, and we're like, oh my God, it's fucking Brian Wilson, or it's fucking one of the dudes from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And it's like, your mind's blown, but to him, these are just the people he grew up with his whole life. So he
family
probably
members.
Yeah, almost like uncle, you know, uncle
Stills.
But what Stills, right? Stephen Stills, my uncle or whatever. It's so bizarre to see it. But I think when you watch it, he kind of realized like, oh, maybe to me, these are just guys I know. Maybe I should show that to the world. You guys just named people. You Joan Baez, and we talked about the Carpenters and all. But who's a bigger folk musician than Bob Dylan? Is there one?
Can't think of any.
No. And he's still doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he started off in 1962 and it's fucking 2024 and he's still releasing shit. It's insane, man. And like I said, he's one of those guys. Like, Stu, you're not a Dylan fan, right?
I mean, a couple songs.
There you go. Yeah. What he just said. I'd say the same exact thing. I mean, I'm not going to sit down and listen to a Dylan album, but you better believe there's a Dylan song or two in my rotations.
Yeah, I'm sure there's one. I can't name them off right hand, but.
Yeah, I guarantee there's some.
You probably know more of the covers that have been done by his than
maybe.
That's very
probably
likely.
Yeah,
there's his so actual.
I think I know more of the Wilburys than I do know about.
Well, there you go too. Stuff. I mean,
well, like that, a Rolling Stone by the Rolling Stones was a Dylan
all
song.
Along the Watchtower.
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, Dylan did it first, didn't he?
Yeah.
Cheap Trick did Please Mr. Henry or Mrs. Henry.
Stu's face when you did All Along the Watchtower was like, really? Yeah, it's insane. Think about that. You mentioned the Traveling Wilburys. Look at that band. Look at the people that came together. And it's like when you're putting together a group, it's like, oh, well, we need a Beatle. We need one of the dudes from ELO. We need Tom Petty and the Heart. Oh, and let's just bring Dylan over here too. Oh, and you want, you know, it's just fucking, it's insanity. But it's good stuff. I love the Wilburys. So they're fantastic.
Never replicated. Yes.
Your next pick was the one I wasn't expecting. And this was one of the most fun ones, I think, for me to kind of look into.
Shaka Khan?
It was not Shaka Khan.
Oh, my God.
Kev, who was your second pick?
Mr. James Brown.
Oh, good God. Yeah.
Nice. Wait, somebody did say James Brown earlier, didn't they?
James Brown.
I think it was Stu.
I didn't. No.
The first thing we're going to say is hip-hop would not exist if James Brown did not exist.
Yep.
Or at least sampling.
All hip hop artists will tell you. It's so funny because we talked about the king of pop and we mentioned the king of folk and we mentioned the king of rock, even though we're not talking about him in this. Right here we have the godfather of soul. You know? Mm-hmm. Hip harp artists, which are a lot different. They play the harp and they rap to it. Hip hop artists
it
today.
Exists,
yeah, it probably does.
I think that's going to be on Andre 3000's next album.
Hip harp.
Yeah. Hip harpin.
James Andre. Well, yeah. He's doing some weird stuff. This guy takes soul, he takes R&B, and he fuses them together to create a sound that did not exist anymore or exist previously. It exists now. It still continues to exist. I said not anymore. I lied. It does. Don't worry. He created funk.
Yeah.
He has been attributed to creating funk. It did not really exist previously, which is pretty crazy. Like to us, I think sometimes we hear terms like hip hop, funk, soul, and they've been there our whole lives, but they had to start somewhere. They didn't exist prior. Somebody came up with that shit by fusing different sounds together. And that's what he did. The king of funk, godfather of soul. He was also a massively, massively huge black cultural icon in the 60s and 70s. These are things that I never really paid attention to because I wasn't born till the late 70s. And by the time I came around, some of these things were already done, you know. but he has been said to have altered the course of black popular music more than once. He's opened the door to artists like Michael Jackson, Public Enemy, Prince. He even went so far as to influence, obviously, the Rolling Stones. What people I don't think understand is, you know his influence on music, but do people know his influence on culture itself? So, Kev, I'm going to let you talk about it for a second, why you picked James Brown, and I want to talk about a few of those things. So what made you pick James Brown?
Well, Soul Brother number one. I mean, it, like you said, you wouldn't have, like, Stu had mentioned Michael Jackson, and great pick, but you wouldn't have Michael Jackson if it wasn't for James Brown.
Right.
Wouldn't have Prince if it wasn't for James Brown. Wouldn't have guys like Sly and the Family Stone, George Clinton, Bootsy Collins. We can go on and
Yeah, like
on
I said, Public Enemy. Public Brown. Enemy, believe it or not, owes their success in part to what James, the doors that James Brown opened. That the political stuff he was talking about, the way his stage performances, all that actually opened the doors to more people than people, I think, realize.
Very much so. And plus the choreography that he did. I mean, that man was dancing insane.
Yeah, I would have died.
Seeing James Brown doing the
sweating
splits,
his ass off.
I would have had a heart attack on stage. Yeah. Just fell over dead.
Exactly. You know,
you got to make you jump back and kiss yourself.
Right? Good God.
Well, the other thing that was highly important about what he did was his support of the civil rights movement and how he used his fame and success to change the course of, like I said, black culture in general. He would actually cancel shows if the opportunity came to perform a benefit concert for like black political organizations. He was known to cancel one show to go do that.
Right.
He also, this one's kind of cool. He used to, I didn't know this, he bought several radio stations so that he could like have some kind of say in the stuff that got played on those stations. I never knew that till I was reading it.
I didn't know that. Damn.
It's amazing because, like I said, canceling shows, doing things like that, that could have killed his career, but he didn't give a shit. It's like, that's not what this is about. In 1968, he recorded Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, which he said cost him a lot of his crossover audience. We don't think anything of it. Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. We know the song. But at the time, this is 1968. He releases that song and people, you know, he had a white audience that's like, oh, I'm not listening to him anymore. I can picture like my grandparents like, oh, can you believe that? You know, like, just losing their
clutching
shit.
The pearls.
Why do they gotta say they're proud? Why can't they
just be black and quiet?
Can't they be proud and not have to talk about it?
This is what an old white racist would sound like. Right. For the record, this is not to be clipped and quoted.
He initiated.
I believe all lives should be proud.
All pride matters. He initiated Operation Black Pride, which is he went out dressed as Santa Claus and handed out 3,000 certificates for free Christmas dinners to poor black neighborhoods. He was also smart. And like,
can you imagine just like seeing James Brown dressed as Santa Claus and going, here, have some food. And you're like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Well, Matt, believe it or not, since James Brown was based here in Cincinnati, I used to hear stories about James Brown driving through my old neighborhood, just giving like impromptu concerts.
That's amazing.
Okay. Yeah. That's
awesome. Just like, oh, there goes James Brown. This was before I was born, by the way, but still. Pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Side note, my nephew's middle name is James, and he wanted to change his last name to be my last name. My last name is Brown, and his mom told him, your name is not going to be Miles James Brown.
That's awesome. Like, that was a great name.
Yeah, do that. Come on.
That's a great name.
He can do whatever he wants after James a while. Brown.
Yeah, he can. When he gets old enough, he can do whatever he wants. just keep reminding him of that, Matt. Yeah.
Like, hey, you remember that time you wanted to change your name to James Brown?
You should do it. You're named after an MMA fighter, Matt Brown.
That's right.
Who says I'm not the MMA fighter?
Me.
Yeah.
A lot of people who know that.
Everybody who's seen
life.
Everybody who's seen you walk up a flight of stairs. I mean, you might be one, but it's not going to be a good one. Oh, God. I've been trying to take the stairs at work, and it's three flights, and I get to the top, and I'm like, this is stupid.
God, why
do I hate myself to this degree? I want a pizza now. Yeah, he's just huge, hugely popular in, like I said, changed culture, changed the sound of music, and introduced a stage presence, I think, that no one had ever seen. And he wrote what should be the official anthem of this country, you know, in my opinion. Brown.
Living in America.
I was waiting. Come on, guys.
I was like, which song?
Not only did nobody say it, then when they said it, it was perfectly in unison. Yes, it's a man's world.
This is done shortly after Carl Weathers died, too.
Yeah. Well, think about that, too. I mean, how, like, that scene in Rocky when Carl Weathers comes out and he's, like, hopping around the stage to Living in America. Like, it is probably the most famous scene from that movie, which is funny because that's the Ivan Drago movie. You know, we get the I will break you.
I'm going to take your word.
He does.
If he dies, he dies. When everybody talks about Rocky, that's three or four. Is that four? God, I don't fucking know. It's four.
It's three.
Four?
Look it up.
I don't know.
You gotta Google.
It's three. So when everybody talks about that, though, that's what they talk about. They talk about that scene. They don't talk about Rocky. If they do, they're like, oh, and then he trains out in the Russia. They don't talk about the fights. They don't. They talk about James Brown's Living in America and Carl Weathers in the
Red, White, and Blue. I believe that's one of the first scenes of the movie, though, isn't it?
It's towards the beginning. Because he's fighting Dragov. Yeah. God, that was hurtful, by the way, hearing Carl Weathers passed away, because that was...
No kidding. I've heard nothing but good things about him.
By everyone everywhere, yeah. He supposedly was just an amazing human being. And we lost Toby Keith. Toby Keith. Yeah, Toby Keith lost his battle with cancer. That's really sad. I'm sorry to hear that, you know.
You've been mentioned on the show a couple times, too.
Yeah, so that's a bummer. But I'm sure Adam Sandler, because there were so many comments and people were posting the picture of him in heaven, you know, after it's from I almost said Tommy Boy, and I know that Billy Madison is not even the right person.
No. What is that movie? Happy Gilmore.
not even well, I think about there's a line in it, though, where they say our new, like, not workout, whatever, the gym instructor, Chris Farley, is his name gets mentioned in that movie. So my brain connected. It makes sense. I'm going to move on. Great choices so far. Seriously, like, when we were talking about people who've changed the course of music, like, this all makes perfect sense. Matt, of course, did a Matt. And not completely, but Matt goes a little off what names you're going to know. It's not that. It's just went a little different direction, which, again, worked out, because what happens is we are doing what we always do on the show. We're covering so many different genres, all with just what we each talk about. Stu gave us kind of hard rock and arena guys, and then he gives us Michael Jackson, the King of Pop. And then we get funk and soul from Kevin, and we get folk music. Well, Matt kind of brings us alternative and punk. So the first person Matt mentioned was Perry Farrell, who we talk about a lot on this show. Sometimes considered, ton of different people consider him the face of 90s alternative culture. He's massive influence on alternative music. And when people talk about 90s alt rock, he is actually attributed as one of the founding faces of 90s alt rock. Obviously, the front man for Porno for Pyros, founder of Jane's Addiction. Jane's had this way of, like, kind of blending metal and psychedelic and punk, which is where a lot of people say the founding roots of 90s alternative came from, was their blend of different styles. And Jane's Addiction was kind of famous for bridging that gap between fans of the different styles. So they kind of bridged that gap between your metal and your punk fans in a way that you hadn't really heard before. I think there are a few other bands that kind of did that, in my opinion. I would say that Alice in Chains kind of did that a little bit, too. You kind of had those bands that you kind of I would say the Toadies were kind of doing that, too. There were those 90s bands, but Jane's Addiction were considered one of the first ones to kind of do it. Another thing I'm going to bring up before I hand it over to Matt, in case Matt doesn't bring it up. He fucking created Lollapalooza. Yeah. That's Perry Farrell. Ooh. So when you think about Lollapalooza, which is a four-day annual, it's music. It's in Chicago. It's a music and art festival. And it is also the longest running music festival in the United States of America.
That probably explains why Jane's Addiction and Porno for Pyros and, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers have always been, like, the main event of that.
That's exactly why.
It absolutely makes a lot of sense. I didn't know he created Lollapalooza, though. I had no idea.
No, I didn't know either.
So, Matt, you picked Perry Farrell.
Yeah.
Would you go into it for a second? Why you picked Perry?
That was one of the things is he created Lollapalooza, and like without Lollapalooza, you wouldn't have Vans Warped Tour. You wouldn't have Coachella, Bonnaroo, probably. I'm guessing those probably.
So is Lollapalooza the first festival?
No. But it's the longest running.
It brought out so many different bands and art and things like that, just all in one place.
So what it did that is different is that you're talking like music festivals existed and art festivals existed, but he like combined
Woodstock
them.
Existed.
Sure. But Woodstock was originally a one-off.
Supposed to be a one-time thing,
So you get stuff now, like you said, like Coachella. That it's like a annual thing, and
I guess Bunbury here in Cincinnati.
And Lollapalooza was one of the first ones, and it's that combined all that, and it's not just a like the genres that you'll see there are mixed. Won't see just like one style of music.
Metallica played at Lollapalooza. It was like a huge deal that Metallica played there on the same bill as Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
But I mean, and there was like a lot of crossover with, you know, the Woodstock 99 lineup, and which also James Brown played at Woodstock 99.
Before things got insane. As well.
Limp Bizkit also played there.
That's when things got insane.
Yeah.
Oh, I think.
And I mean, it's just the amount of music that Perry Farrell has created over the years. I'll go ahead and just tell you. Another one of the reasons I picked Perry Farrell was years ago, Connie and I actually went and saw Perry Farrell perform with one of his like solo projects that he was doing. And I was just like, I like some of Perry Farrell's music, and didn't realize how much of his music I actually really liked.
That happened to me recently.
And not only that, but how much was just him. And by the end of the show, which by the way, puts on a fantastic show. By the end of the concert, I was just like, oh my God, I love Perry Farrell. Like, I didn't realize how much I really liked Perry Farrell until I saw him live and recognized almost every one of the songs he did. Cause he did music covering all of his bands.
It's funny. Cause you said that happened to me recently where I realized I liked a lot more than I realized I liked from him. I remember back in the day here in Porno for Pyros, and I liked him a lot. I was like, this band's really cool. And then I remember like going around singing like, I got caught stealing once. When I didn't know that was the same. I don't know how it never connected in my head that this is the same guy.
That's kind of the same thing with me. I didn't realize it was all the
same.
He's
got a very distinct voice.
Yes, which is why I should have connected it. But I knew like this is Jane's Addiction, and that's Porno for Pyros. And you know, there were other bands that had similar sounding people at the time. So
I don't think Porno for Pyros was out very long with like albums compared to Jane's Addiction.
They were all kind of short lived bands.
But Jane's Addiction, that. Like, but
very volatile bands too.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing the farewell Porno for Pyros show, which I would love to go out and see. And Jane's Addiction is also, I think, he's gonna do like all his stuff on stage at one time, which would be really, really cool to check out. Is that out your way, Matt?
If it is, I hadn't heard about it.
I thought I sent you something on it. I could be wrong, but yeah. He's amazing. He gets mentioned on the show a lot, and I think it's just because of how much of influence he had. When we talk 90s, and I think myself and Matt, and to some degree Stu, were listening to a lot of a certain style of music. And so knowing now that his effect on it, it makes sense that we bring him up so much, because his effect on the style of music we were listening to in the 90s, it just sort of makes sense.
I mean, I liked all their like big mainstream hits. I didn't really go deep dive with any of their
albums. You were kind of a Jane's Addiction. You liked a lot.
Yeah. I mean, Porno for Pyros, I think there was like a song that came out.
Pets, probably. I like more, but Pets was like the one that was...
I think the
Porno for Pyros song that was probably the biggest song was Pets. Yeah. So your second one. Oh, go ahead.
Something real quick. Something I came across while I was, you know, about.
Was it my back?
No. Cut that out.
Nope. God,
that was bad. All right. So I'm sending you guys a link right now in the chat that you can check out later, and everybody else, you can see it on your own.
You do realize we never cut out when you say cut it out.
He knows that. I tell him I don't.
I know.
I tell him I don't do it.
No, it's a video of Jane's Addiction and a couple of members of Smashing Pumpkins doing Jane Says live on Howard Stern.
That would be cool.
And Billy Corgan just gushing at the end of the song about like, I get to perform this with one of my best friends.
That's really cool.
And just like, they have like this deep appreciation of each other. And like, you see it in the video that they're doing together.
I'm actually surprised they're not touring with.
That would be cool.
Smashing Pumpkins.
That would have been really cool. That would have forced my hand a little bit more.
This video, when was this from? This is a year ago.
Well, the Pumpkins are touring this year, so.
Yeah.
And so it would have been cool, but. Yeah. And I don't want to get off tangent. I just want to briefly mention this. Matt sent us over a video last night. You said gushing about certain people, and it made me think of Shania Salt. And Matt sent me that video. I don't know if you sent it to all of us or not.
I think I just sent it to you.
But these guitars that are coming out and the bass.
Schecter Guitars is apparently re-releasing Shania Salt's Coffin bass that we mentioned in the interview.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool.
It was one of the basses that I mentioned to her. I was like, I always wanted one but could never afford one.
Yeah, it was exactly. You said, I think I got brought up. And I was like, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely talked about it on the interview, but I couldn't remember if she actually mentioned it being re-released.
So go back and listen to that, guys. Shania Salt from White Zombie. We interviewed her. She was fantastic. That was last season sometime. But that's really cool to see that they're re-releasing it. And she was on like holding it up in the videos. And so that was pretty neat. So you sent over your second one. And this was one of those like bands I never would have thought of. And when you sent it, I'm like, okay. I don't mean this in a negative way. How did they change it? Like, I don't know. And then I read and I'm like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
So he sends over the band or the guy who kind of is known as the face of 90s alt rock. And then he sends me basically the band that fucking started punk. And you don't really think about that. Again, someone had to. So he sends me the Stooges, originally called the Psychedelic Stooges, if you didn't know that, or Iggy and the Stooges. They formed in 1967. That just blows my mind. I thought the Stooges were like 70s. I never would have thought of that.
From MC5 era. Same area of the world, actually. They're both from Detroit.
Yep. So Iggy Pop, Ron Ashton, Scott Ashton, and Dave Alexander were the original members of the Stooges.
What about Sean Ashton?
No, I don't think he was there yet. Yeah. No. This is Ashton. That's Aston. Austin.
Whatever.
I'm just saying.
Potato, potato.
What they're kind of known for is they played very raw. Very loud, very primitive, and they gained a massive reputation for doing that. They're often credited, along with bands like Velvet Underground and the Sonics, as the band that invented punk rock. And it's kind of impossible to ignore the presence they had on the genre, no matter how you feel about who created it. In a time before noise rock was even considered a genre, they were combining punk and noise.
That's a thing? Sure. Noise rock?
Absolutely, man. It's death metal. You think of all the genres.
I've never heard of noise rock.
We've talked about metal before. Look at, there's death metal, there's speed metal, there's like, it gets so.
I'm going to look up some noise.
So they would combine like punk and like noise to like create this like real loud. We even mentioned
Sonic Youth would be probably the biggest one that you would know.
I think
Velvet Underground's considered Velvet Underground. Noise rock. Jesus Lizard.
I think we mentioned this
I'm a fan
on the show before when we did the industrial episode. Like, if it weren't for guys like this, industrial probably wouldn't exist.
Bumble Surfers, Dinosaur Jr. They're all
Dinosaur Jr. So, Bumble
Jesus
Surfers,
and Mary Chain. Yeah.
So these guys, the Stooges, are regarded as the seminal act, instrumental in the development of punk, alternative, and heavy metal. Bands like Tyrannosaurus Rex, the Ramones, Blondie. Every one of them have stated that their early influence came from the Stooges. Kurt Cobain said Raw Power was his favorite album of all time. So again, Nirvana. And I never really thought about it. Like, I don't think about the Stooges. I think about Iggy Pop. We've talked about Iggy Pop, but I never really break it down to that he was one of the founding members of the Stooges.
Yeah.
What made you choose the Stooges?
Honestly, came up on Shuffle one day and I was like, oh yeah, this is a great song. Then I went back and I was like, holy crap, this is a, I'm pretty sure it was on
Very Good Choice
that came up.
I love that song.
Yeah. Yeah. Iggy Pop being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2010 on stage with Green Day, and everybody on stage is just having a great time.
Yes.
And the audience is just like, I don't know what the hell is going on. And Billy Joe from Green Day just kind of like starts going off on everybody in the audience.
Another band who, by the way, has stated the influence that the Stooges had on them, even becoming a band, was Green Day, which makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like Iggy Pop, think about how early that was.
Right.
It was the late 60s.
Late 60s.
That type of music was just not around. But,
no.
You know.
Well, it's not just that.
You got this guy from Detroit who just goes insane on stage.
He goes insane. He would smear food on himself.
Slashing himself up with broken beer bottles.
Jump into
peanut butter on himself.
Jump into the crowd. He was, they say he's like, well, Henry Rollins claims that as far as he knows, he is the first person to ever like do the jump into the crowd surfing thing.
Yeah.
Is Iggy Pop.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either.
Side note, if you've ever seen the movie CBGB's, Taylor Hawkins plays him very briefly.
I think you mentioned
in that movie.
Yeah.
And apparently Iggy Pop never went to CBGB's. They just threw it in because they wanted to include Iggy Pop in the movie. So
yeah,
I could be totally wrong on that, but that was a point of controversy with that movie.
He's one of those characters like Ozzy that I can't believe he's still
How are they still here?
Yeah. You know they did all of them.
Keith Richards, just take it out.
And Chad, I know you're listening. It's important that you hear this next part, Chad. We tried to play your Chad sent us a voicemail this week. Thank you, Chad. But the guys will tell you, well, here, I can. Yeah. This is what happened when I tried to download it.
This is what it did. This is what always happens with those.
That's not it. I have to actually click the.
That's what happens when he hits the wrong button.
Here it is.
He had a finger stroke.
This is what happened.
He had a what?
That's not a joke. I downloaded it, and that's what I'm getting.
We'll throw that into Audacity and see if we can slow it down.
I did get to read it transcribed, so I did get to hear what you had to say, and that's why I'm bringing your name up right now, Chad.
And what you said was...
Because, and then we also, I believe it was Chad. Was it Chad who put the post up on what album he just bought?
Yeah.
But he was telling us that he... I believe it was Chad who just got the Crow soundtrack.
Yeah.
And Iggy Pop was... supposed to be in the first Crow movie.
Album looks fantastic.
You saw that on the post with the vinyl that's clear with the splatter.
You know what? That makes me think of, because I was looking at that and I'm like, if they would have done this kind of stuff back when they first brought up vinyl, how much that would have changed?
Oh God, yeah.
The life.
I'd like to know when that started, when people started doing the.
Well, you've done the whole color vinyl before.
Yeah, when people started the weird
as a one off.
Yeah,
every now and again. But this shit now,
it looks really cool.
Little splatters and sometimes blood in the whole fucking...
Awesome album title.
Right.
Blood in the vinyl. Yeah.
But you think, though, if it would have been like a surpassed the tape, the CD and all that, it would have stayed in like the main market of buying
maybe
for music. I don't know.
I think it became a smaller format that people could be more portable. That was, yeah. Could you imagine if you had record players in your car?
I know vinyl these days.
They used to exist.
You're trying to dodge all the holes.
Well, I know vinyl these days is more for a collector's sake than actual playing sake.
Well, I play it all the time, but yeah.
You're one of the rare few, I'm sure, though. But I think they're doing all this stuff for collector's sake than anything else.
But I brought that up that he had shared that vinyl on our Facebook page, and that he had sent in because Iggy Pop was supposed to be, he bought that Crow soundtrack, and Iggy Pop was supposed to be in the first Crow. I forget what happened that he couldn't be, and so he ends up being in the Crow 2, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's not a great movie.
He's on the soundtrack too. I Want to Be Your Dog.
He's on the soundtrack. Of the first one, right? Or is he in City of Angels?
Yeah.
So, I just brought that up because thank you for leaving us a voicemail. I don't know what happened when I downloaded it, man. We're always asking for voicemails, so if you guys want to leave a voicemail, that would be awesome. And I don't think they'll all do that. I don't know what happened, but
yeah.
Hey, you know, he basically was letting us know that he listened to the music score episode, and it got him thinking about one of his favorites, which Matt and I have talked about, you know, The Crow several times on this show.
Many times, yeah. It's fantastic.
So... great choices. We're going to head into mine now. Matt and I both kind of struggled with this because we were like, there's so many people we could talk about, and who do we talk about? And I really, obviously, you know, it's funny because one of my favorite bands of all time is Queen, and I don't really talk about them on the show very much. And I thought, hey, this would be a perfect opportunity, and yet I didn't. And there's a reason I didn't, because when I think Queen and what Queen did to change the music industry, it all starts rolling back to somebody before Queen that I think even opened the doors for Freddie Mercury. And for me, that's David Bowie. So I went with Bowie. I chose Bowie because he not only had an influence on the sound of music, but also the personality of music.
Not the Julie Andrews movie.
Not that. He didn't have any. If he would have, I'd probably like it more, but he didn't. So.
Oh, my God. That'd be great. David Bowie doing the sound of music.
So you guys may or may not know this, but Bowie has been regarded as one of the most influential musicians of the 20th century.
Makes sense.
His experimentation with synthesizers and various production techniques made him a pioneer and resulted in a sound way ahead of its time. His work would go on to influence numerous electronic musicians. His stagecraft, though, this is something that blew people's minds. He had various personas that he would use when going up on stage, which we've all talked about, you know, Ziggy Stardust and all. We all know that. But his personas were, you could kind of take them as a visual representation of the music style and sound he was doing at that time. And he's really talked about this. Well, he had talked about this, that he was very uncomfortable being himself on stage. He was uncomfortable showing who he really was. So he would create these personas that would make him feel a lot more comfortable when performing. So he would develop the character and then we'd perform as them. He had at least five different characters. There's more, but five that get brought up a lot. There's Ziggy Stardust, Aladdin Sane, Halloween Jack, the Thin White Duke, and then his last character from the album Black Star, which was the Blind Prophet, which we've all seen, and it messes with our head when he's walking around with the thing over his eyes and the two buttons and singing that Lazarus song, and it's so weird. But he knew what was happening, you know. Mm-hmm. His career was marked by reinvention and visual presentation, and his music and stagecraft had a significant impact on popular music. Like I said, I considered talking about Queen, but Bowie started in 1962, and Queen started in 1970, and there is a very similar vibe to their music and Bowie on stage and his stage presence and Freddie Mercury stage presence. And so I'm like, I don't know. I like to think, knowing the personality of Freddie Mercury, that he would have been Freddie Mercury anyway. But there are similarities that people don't know about, to the degree that Freddie Mercury was very shy in real life, but then he got on stage and he became Freddie Mercury. And Bowie did the same kind of stuff. We were watching, we didn't finish it last night. We started Moon Age Daydream, which is the Bowie, I don't even want to call it a documentary because it's not exactly. It's playing clips and all this stuff, and it's very artistic. There were just, like, I can't, this is the 60s, man. And this guy's going on stage, and people are losing their ever-loving minds. And people are walking around painting their faces like him. I mean, this is before Kiss. He's putting on outfits and face paint and changing who he is completely.
I wonder if Kiss took that from him.
Guarantee they were inspired by David Bowie. 100% they were inspired by David Bowie. There's no way they weren't. Like, that's the other thing. His music has become this weirdly transcendent thing that everybody knows. And, like, you don't just, when people talk about Bowie, they're not like, I love his music. It's like, Bowie means something to me. Like, he just, it's weird. And of course, me growing up as a kid watching Labyrinth, you know, Jareth is considered one of his personas, one of his personalities. And
which, by the way, the Fathom Events is re-releasing Labyrinth in theaters.
On March the 6th, I believe it is. So I've gone most times it's been re-released to theaters to see it. So
they so need to do the Wraith.
That's never going to happen.
You could just watch it on a big TV.
Yeah, they're never going to. It would be neat if somebody did, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe I wonder what the rights are like to that. We should try to do a screening of Wraith or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really hit me. Like, I want to talk about Queen and their sound and their style. And then I'm like, but if I'm going to do that, I got to give credit where credit's due. And Bowie was doing that sound, and Bowie was doing that style 8 years before Queen.
Yeah, but Bowie wasn't doing operatic kind of stuff, was he?
He wasn't doing the harmonies and stuff that Queen was doing. No, absolutely not. But I would argue that the similarity in the style of music was there right from the beginning. Like, you, if you listen, you'll hear some Beatles-esque sounding stuff, and then you'll hear some stuff that I'm like, oh, that reminds me of Queen. Like, that sound, which, rightly so, one of their more famous songs is with David Bowie. So, you know, Under Pressure is considered one
pushing
of their,
down on you.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was pushing down on Ice Ice Baby, whatever.
That is, I will throw
something. You're going to get slapped for that one. Remember who you're sitting in the room with.
I think it's interesting to watch. And we all watched Bowie change over the years. So he was also one of the first.
Change, I think it's how you meant to say that.
Yes, we watched all his changes. He was also one of the first openly bisexual, which this was something that I talked about, too, with my wife last night. I'm like, it's weird because, you know, I was born in the late 70s and throughout the 80s, we had the Bowie we had. We didn't have the Ziggy Stardust thing that was already. And I guess no one, I don't remember, I mean, I remember comments, but I don't remember ever anyone ever just, like, when people talked about Elton John, like, it was always brought up somewhere. He's gay, too. You know that, right? You know, Freddie Mercury, one of the first openly gay front men. I don't recall people going, you know, and David Bowie was bi. You know, like,
I don't know. That one video of him in the Rolling Stone, Jagger.
Well, it's my wife was saying, like, there's a big story out there about him and Pete Townsend having a relationship for like a long time.
Really?
Yeah, to the degree that supposedly some of the music that Townsend wrote is about Bowie. So I'm sure Jagger and Bowie experimented together. I would be very shocked if they did not.
That was one of the big rumors. Well, apparently about
you wouldn't have Jagger's lips like caught. That and without trying them out.
I don't believe either one of them denied any of those rumors, if I recall, either.
Right.
Yeah, you get a chance to try out them Jagger lips, you do it.
It's got the moves like Jagger.
That's right. They have moves like Jagger. What are those moves? There's some really cool stuff about Bowie. We like I said, we were having a whole discussion last night. If you ever look at his eyes, the pupils. One is like giant and like slightly different color. It's because he got in a fight with one of his buddies when they were young, and his buddy like hit him and scratched him across the face, which did permanent damage. And I guess later in life, he was saying how much he actually appreciated it because it became one of his signatures. And they're still friends, or they were still friends. I take this guy, too, that's releasing, like I said, Space Oddity and you know, Starman and shit. And then we move into the 80s and we're getting, you know, totally different sound. We move into the 90s all the way up until, you know, he's working with Trent Reznor and I'm Afraid of Americans. And, like, his sound just kept evolving. And his style kept evolving. And I don't know, just to me, highly influential, you know. So that's why I picked him. The final choice on this list is mine as well. And again, can't really argue. This is the most notes because there's a reason for it. We said that Stewie picked somebody that will never be touched in the pop world. I would maybe argue I'm about to talk about the biggest band that's ever existed in the world. And a lot of people agree with me. So, you guys want to take a guess?
Is it the Beatles?
It's the Beatles.
Yeah.
There will probably never be a band as big as the Beatles. Probably will not ever happen. It could. But again, like we said, biggest name in basketball. You're going to say Jordan. Biggest name in hockey.
Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky. Biggest name in baseball. That one always throws people.
Roger like, Piazza.
See, there we go.
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth is probably one of the most famous names in baseball. But it's that one's tougher. Yeah, I don't. Same with football.
It's because baseball.
Yeah, I was about to say
football and baseball. Are a little
Travis
tougher.
Kelce, Patrick Mahomes,
Walter Payton.
It's a little tougher.
Chiefs, yeah, Super Bowl.
William the Refrigerator Perry, Icky Shuffle. No,
no that.
So the Beatles, the Beatles are, and again, this isn't me. This isn't hyperbole. I'm not saying this. This is based off stuff you read online from other bands. What musicians have to say. Regarded as the most influential and also the most popular band of all time, the Beatles. Their intricate melodies, their structured harmonies actually set them apart from what anyone was doing at the time. These were four lads from Liverpool who they were really into trying new things and experimenting with music at a very early time. They were innovative when it came to developing their sound, and they were willing to try new technology as well as merge old technology, like old Western music and Indian music and jazz and psychedelic rock. So they would go back and pull stuff from the past and merge it with what was happening, future stuff that other people weren't willing to try yet. And they were actually known for pioneering the actual recording studio process. This is really cool. So a lot of the ideas, techniques, things like that are used in recording studios today were pioneered by them. they were invented by or advanced by the Beatles. So what people are doing, multi-tracking, for example, this is all stuff that they are known to be to start. Multi-tracking, looping, artificial double tracking, the use of automatic transient overload control, which is something that gets done to add extra bass to songs. They were the ones who did it. They pioneered it. They were the first people to try different things. We're talking what people would do before the Beatles is they would literally bring a whole band in, set them up live, and they would play until the guy goes, "That's it. That's the track we use. Next." And they would do almost a whole album like that in one day. Whereas the Beatles became so popular, had enough popularity and money that they could go, "Oh no, we're going to rent Abbey Road out for like months. And we're going to spend a whole fucking week on one song if we want to, you know, and we're going to get that sounding right." We all know what they did to the world. We know that they became this huge band, and they go on the Ed Sullivan Show, and we got kids screaming and people losing their shit, right? But what they did for the recording process to other musicians, that's why when we talk about the fact that I always give you shit because I know you're not a big Beatles fan, but I'm like, well, your beloved Motley Crue fucking loves them. They've even done a Beatles song. It's because they're musicians and they know what they did for other musicians. They popularized another thing, which is the concept album. You guys understand the idea. You guys know what a concept album is, right?
Mm. Yeah.
It didn't exist. They did it. And then everybody else was like, oh my God, we need to do this. For those of you who don't know or are a little confused, you've probably heard the term concept album before. The full-length concept album is something they did. They had figured out since we can go into the studio, we can run a story through this whole album so that the songs are sort of connected in a way. So they did that with Sgt. Pepper. And what ends up happening is you get Brian Wilson losing his shit, going, oh my God, I heard Sgt. Pepper. We have to do that. And Pet Sounds was influenced by the Beatles. And the Beatles are like, well, we did Sgt. Pepper because we were influenced by shit you guys were doing.
That kind of like what awesome. Green Day did with their one album?
Yes.
21, American Idiot?
American Idiot, yeah. Queen's Night at the Opera, Tommy, Styx, Kilroy was here, Elton John's Captain Fantastic. You got Iron Maiden, Seventh Son of the Seventh Son, Parliaments of Funkin'. I cannot say it, Kev.
Parliament
of Funkin'-Teleki versus the Placebo Syndrome. Am I saying that right?
I think so, yeah.
Those are very difficult all to say, concept albums that would not have happened if the Beatles hadn't done Sgt. Pepper first, because people heard what they were doing and they were like, oh, this is fucking cool. We can like tell a whole story. They were also the first act to perform in a major stadium. 1965 Shea Stadium. It sold out in 17 minutes, drew a record-breaking crowd of 55,600 people, and was the first concert staged at a large outdoor stadium. Basically, they created stadium tours. Something that we take for granted today did not exist before 67.
I don't know. I kind of wish stadium tours weren't a thing right now.
But I'm saying, though, they weren't. They didn't exist. The Beatles were so huge, you couldn't just put them in a regular venue. They needed something much bigger. And you think, again, we all know bands that big now. It's like, well, they got to be in a stadium. They need to house them all. That didn't exist before 1965. They were the first band. They brought the British invasion to the U.S. I always say it jokingly, but kind of seriously, they kind of made boy bands mainstream. I mean, we had, like I said, the Beach Boys and stuff, but they stole the hearts of all the young ladies and some of the young men out there. And this is why I think, when I think this, you know, how my mom felt about the Beatles and how, you know, people we know of that age or whatever felt about the Beatles. We're talking about the 60s, and we take certain things for granted now, but there was no youth subculture didn't exist. Not in the way that we think of now. You had this youth finally starting to like, they wanted to break off. They wanted to be thought of separate from the adults in the time. And so the Beatles come out and they offer up a soundtrack to this, to 80s, or I'm sorry, 80s, to 60s youth. And the youth at this time were just starting to experiment with things like music, art, fashion, sex, drugs. And they were just starting to question our identity, female liberation. All this was just starting. And now you have this band coming out doing psychedelic songs that may have some little sexual innuendos in a lot of them. And, you know, it's just crazy. So their influence, their presence in others' music, we can still hear it today. The Foo Fighters and Nirvana, both, according to both Dave Grohl and Kurt Cobain, have said how influenced they were by the Beatles. Joe Walsh stated they inspired him to become a musician just in general. Anne and Nancy Wilson of Heart said they never wanted to be the girlfriends of the Beatles or the wives of the Beatles. They wanted to be the Beatles. And this is an actual quote from Nancy. She said, "The lightning bolt came out of the heavens and struck Anne and me the first time we saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. There's been so much anticipation and hype about the Beatles that it was a huge event, like the lunar landing. That was the moment Anne and I heard the call to become rock musicians. I was 7 or 8 at the time." Other artists who have stated they were influenced were Billy Joel, Kiss, Bruce Springsteen, even Stewie's beloved Motley Crue have all stated how much impact the Beatles had on them. So that's why I picked the Beatles. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot.
Not too bad for 4 guys from Liverpool.
Right? You know what they're called, right?
Playing in
the Beatles.
If you're from Liverpool, you are a
Liverpudlian.
I'd like to be. You went with Octopus's Garden. You went with. Yeah. I want to first thank you for giving some Ringo.
Went with a Ringo one.
I appreciate that. That's not many people do that.
Mr. Conductor.
And think about that. Even today, people call Ringo Starr to play drums for him. People. Yeah. We were talking about the Dolly Parton album, which, by the way, fucking amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
Yep.
She fucking performs with Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr on that album today. You got to be Dolly Parton to pick up the phone and be like,
yeah,
right. Just like,
hey, Ringo, come on over. Yeah.
She calls Sting up. She has Sting perform with her. And what's amazing is
Rob Halford from Judas Priest.
Yeah. I know we're veering off, but we want to give that album some love because it is fucking amazing.
It's great.
And I haven't even got to listen to the whole thing yet because it's honestly huge.
She could have been a part of this list too.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100% could have been a part of this list. We talked about that. Like, her name could have been brought up and it would have fit right in.
Mm-hmm.
But those are our picks. I know you guys have some picks and I know you have some thoughts. So let us know. Like, who do you guys think are bands, musicians that really changed the face of music, and why? Why did they change the face of music? Best way to do that is to follow us on.
I'm surprised you all didn't think I was going to pick for Motley Crue.
I wouldn't see how they changed music.
Well, they kind of did in the glam scene. Kinda.
I would say
they were like the innovators of the big hair bands.
You know, there's so many others.
They were early big hair, yeah. I would say that. Glam, no way.
I mean, they weren't like...
They were the first ones to die and come back to life because of heroin.
Only one of them. And he's the dick of the band now.
Glam, most definitely. Gary Glitter and stuff existed. We've talked about how glam kind of came about. They were early big hair. That's a good question.
For better or worse,
who were considered the very first big hair bands? They were the Bad Boys of rock and roll.
From my understanding... From what I've heard in the past, is a band called April Wine is supposedly the April band Wine that started it.
Makes a little bit of sense. I will say one of the things Motley Crue was notorious for doing is Stiletto being heroin. Yes, both of those. they were known as the fucking insane party boys to the degree that they kind of made it like everybody was doing that stuff. But they were very open about it. They didn't give a shit.
Yeah, there was an interview where Vince Neil actually said, "Just because I wear lipstick doesn't mean I can't kick your ass."
Yeah, they were out there. They were out there. Like, can you imagine? They were making what they were doing so well known even at that time. Can you imagine today? They'd have like the fucking TikTok channel of all TikTok channels. Oh, they'd be kicked off of it, but you know.
Well, I mean, I think Tommy Lee is on Instagram a lot showing his stuff.
Yeah, well. We've all seen it, Tommy. We know.
Yeah, we know. You can
put it away now.
Look how big my dick is. Yeah, we know. We've seen it.
We're aware.
Whether we wanted to or not, we've all seen your pecker. It's hard to miss.
You honk a horn on a boat with it. It's fine. Calm down, Tommy.
Seriously, dude. If your pants are down and you turn too fast, we're gonna have to duck. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. It's when you're swinging that shit around. It's like
seen it in basketball.
It came in like a wrecking ball.
Dude, that would be awesome. Like a parody.
Basketball. I love that scene in basketball. That scene is so funny. She's like, "Oh my god, throbbing cock." I mean, oh. So those are our choices. Like I said, the best way is probably to follow us on social media. We are on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of those. Go to the website. You can click right on it, get right to us, and that is themixtapeshow.com is how you want to get to the website. Hear your guys' opinion. I want to hear who you guys, if you like our choices, who do you think should have been added to the list? I mean, I think we hit some names that needed to be on any list. Like, you just can't have a list of who changed the industry. There are so many, though. And there's so many important people out there. And one of the things I think we had a real lack of on this was females. We didn't really, like you said, Dolly Parton could have been on there. Yeah.
Madonna could have been on there.
Madonna could have been on there. Yeah.
Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, there are a lot of people.
Yeah,
a lot of
them. Yeah, so we might need to do like a female version.
That would
just
be cool.
Doing all female.
All female version would be very cool, yeah. Okay. So look forward to that.
The Lady Beatles.
It seems like people have been enjoying the fact that we've been releasing bonus content and extra stuff down the stream. I've been doing the weekly movie and music update thing, and then we did the recast, which actually did really well, which I was shocked. Hopefully, get
super fun.
I don't know. The video is done, right, Matt? Is it about to go up?
It's in the works. Yep. Okay.
The recast video should be out there, and we're still working on video. That's why there's no video of this episode, I don't think, because we had some videos corrupt this morning.
Technical issues.
He's fucking pissing us off is what it's doing. Yeah. We get one person's down, and then the next week somebody else, and we get that fixed, and then it fucking bounces to somebody else.
Fun times.
Working on that. The video quality should be up moving forward, and then we just got to figure out how to fucking stopping permissions or something. I don't know what that was doing. But yeah, that's it for this episode. I wanted to say the bonus episode will be coming out in a couple of days. It is going to be this, but we're going to be talking about movies that changed the industry and how that happened.
Hey, Jay, I want to give a quick shout out to Twisted Kid Matt's hometown of Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, God.
I had
today
nothing
for hosting Taylor Swift
Super
today.
Bowl, but, you know, it hurts
like
my Taylor
Swift.
Soul, but I would like to give Kansas City a shout out. Good luck to you.
I do want to say this. It's too late by the time you're listening to this. Super Bowl's already happened.
True.
Do yourself a favor.
By the Chiefs.
Do yourself a favor. If they will, when they highlight Taylor Swift for many times throughout the Super Bowl, don't get pissed. It's not her fault. She's not asking them to fucking do it.
They're trying to get eyeballs.
Do you know how many eyes are watching it because of her? So just fucking. Right. I bet you the Super Bowl numbers this year are way high because people want to see if she's on the roof. I bet you anything. Yep. So. That being said,
it's
guys,
it's almost like the haters, they want to watch.
It's almost like
it.
The haters want to hate.
Stop it.
Hate.
And you know what? The Chiefs, the players, they just want to play.
I think everybody just needs to shake this off.
Shake it off. Yeah, very good.
Look what you made me do.
Slide record.
Matt, you just
brought it back.
Matt just brought it with look what you made me do. That one almost slipped past. I just want you to know. Almost made it past, man. All right, guys. So that's it for this episode. We will be back in a couple of days with the movie, the bonus, the pop culture episode. So tune in for that. And until that happens, remember to always
stay awesome. There are times that you feel like your head is a big old bucket filled with fuzzy dreams. 'Cause you wish you were a Muppet, but you can't play the music, and you can't light the lights, and it's all you can do just to make it through any more of these lonely nights. So you grab your favorite mixtape and you pop it in the slot, and you scream two words along with all the nerds, 'cause right now it's all you've got.
Inside your heart and let it blossom.